This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to Resource Centre, and today we have Mats Nielsen. He's the Managing Director at Volvo Malaysia to give us a view on what's changing in the space of transportation. And we've heard so much about autonomous vehicle, right? But we've also yet to see the impact here in Malaysia. So coming from Volvo, Mats, just tell us how rapid is this automotive space is changing?
Hi, Angeline. Thanks for having me here today. It's a pleasure. I think, as everything in the world, things are moving very, very fast today. We see the emergence of mega cities, increased urbanization, more global commerce and trade. We see technologies evolving, etc. So it's moving very fast, I think we can say.
Mm. And one thing also we wanted to highlight today is the increased flow of transportation within the region, right? And one area that we want to look at is how does lifting the trade borders under the AEC, which is the ASEAN Economic Community, would help in this industry?
First of all, then, I'm European and I've lived in 6 countries in Europe. Malaysia, my 7th home, I like to call it.
7th home.
And I see the lowering of trade barriers, increased flow of goods, services and capital as something very positive for the development.
Mm-hmm.
How does that impact the transportation industry? Well, there will be a need for the right services, the right products to support longer distances where you can go from Singapore to Malaysia to Bangkok and potentially all the way up to China without having to change your prime mover the way you have to do it today at the borders.
Okay. So I mean, what you're saying is today you have to change different kind of transportation.
In general, there are exceptions, but in general, when you come to the border, you have to change the prime mover and the Malaysian driver with his truck will go back to Malaysia. There will be a Thai driver picking up the trailer at the border and moving into Thailand. So in the future, you will only need the one prime mover and the one driver for all of this.
Okay. So how do you think that, you know, we could do these changes, or how far are we to make this progress?
There is clearly a vision in the ASEAN community. We have the Asian Free Trade Agreement and the ASEAN Economic Community. So the vision is there. There is still some nitty-gritty, some details for the governments to sort out in order to allow for this to really happen. Mm. I know that we are very close, but it has still to be fully formalized and fully implemented. As a truck producer then, and as a company distributing and servicing trucks in Malaysia, we are very close. We're following this with great interest. We obviously work across the borders in Europe and other parts of the world. And we have prepared ourselves in terms of having the right product. We just launched our new FH last week. It's new in Malaysia. It's a vehicle that is particularly well suited for long distance haulage, among other segments. We also have a network. We have 13 workshops in Malaysia. We have invested some 75 million ringgits over the last couple of years in these workshops. Likewise, we have our own network in Singapore. Singapore is small, so the network is 2 workshops. And we also have our own network with our own people, our own training and so on in Thailand. So the truck driver and the truck company that has cross-border transportation will be able to go to the pretty much to the one point of entry in Volvo Trucks.
Okay. Just based on your 4 years living here and also handling Volvo Malaysia, what changes did you see particularly to this market?
One of the things I learned immediately when I came here was that Malaysia has a Vision 2020, and it's well on its way to realizing that, I think, becoming a high income and a high developed nation. And in the trucking industry, then, I have seen during those 4 years how the market is maturing, how the customers are focusing more on total cost of ownership, whereas initially there could be more of a focus on the purchasing price of the vehicle. Today, the customer is looking at uptime, reliability, fast turnaround times in the workshops, and the right payloads, etc. So they're looking at the overall economic picture, total cost of ownership and vehicle lifetime productivity.
Mm.
So it's going towards where the developed countries in the world are today as well.
And now we would like to focus more of sustainability practices, right, within Malaysia or just within the region and based on your experience. And one thing also we will notice is the Volvo Group CEO, Martin Lundstedt, I don't know if I pronounced that correctly.
Not too bad.
In his role as a co-chair of high-level advisory group on sustainable transport, he submitted a report to the United Nations Secretary General containing 10 recommendations on how sustainable transport can advance sustainable development. You know, then based on your experience with Volvo, will you walk us through, you know, what are these recommendations or what are the practices?
I would like to say then that within the Volvo Group, we were created in 1927. We have 3 core values. You can wake up any Volvo employee in the middle of the night and he will say quality, safety and environmental care. The first 2, quality and safety, we've had since the beginning in 1927. Environment, we became a bit more aware in the early 1970s. So since the early 1970s, that's one of the 3 core values that we have. So we are focusing on reducing CO2 emissions, cleaner engines, workshop. In Malaysia here, we have an ISO 14001 certified workshop in Shah Alam. which means that we respect the environmental standards when it comes to something similar to the ISO 9000.
Mm.
How do we take care of the waste? How do we deal with the potential pollution, etc.? So I think Martin Lundstedt's recommendations to the United Nations, it's pretty much comprehensive. And you could argue that we're part of the problem, but we also want to be and we can be part of the solution as well. As we go through the different emission standards in the world, we moved from Euro 0 initially in Europe to Euro 1, 2, 3, and now we're at Euro 6. What comes out of at the back of the truck in the end is so much cleaner than what we had a couple of years ago.
Mm. And also within Malaysia, we are currently at Euro 5. I'm not so sure. What does that mean? Could you just tell us more about what these Euro standards are?
Actually, what we have in Malaysia today is availability of Euro 5 fuel. But the legislation only requires Euro 2M today. That means that on the levels of CO2 and NOx, there is a certain level, which is the Euro 2 standard. Then when it comes to the particles, there we are actually a little bit lower in Malaysia. That's the M part of the Euro 2M. So it's not quite the Euro 2 standard. Now, Malaysia will be moving, according to the information I have, towards a legal implementation or deployment of the Euro 5 standards from 2020 onwards. That's okay. The information I have. And I think it will be fully implemented a few years later. So that means that we will have very clean vehicles by then. We today from Volvo, we have Euro 3 vehicles.
And there's also a biodiesel 10 as well.
So that's true. I mean, the biodiesel today in Malaysia, it's biodiesel 7. And the country's moving towards the biodiesel 10. And we support less use of fossil fuels, if that's positive for the environment. And we will be ready and able to support the B10 in the future here in Malaysia as well. When it comes to the environment, hopefully, and I would say fortunately, most people are becoming aware of how important this is. Personally, I have 3 children, and I would, of course, like them to grow up in a cleaner environment. So when it comes to our own vehicles, not only then we want to have clean emissions, but we also make sure that the materials are recyclable. We have actually recycled a lot of material into the trucks themselves as well.
Mm. But when you say that, you know, Malaysia is well on our way to use cleaner fuels in that sense, right? The thing is, do we face resistance? It's still perception is the one that's quite hard to change, right? So I know, is it because when government says, all right, now we have to standardize this, everybody should use Euro 5 or, you know, biodiesel, I don't know, 10, 20, what range, right? But, you know, is it hard to go towards that direction? And who is important to make those influential decisions?
It's a good question. I think, is there resistance? I think there is also a question of capacity to provide and to supply the Euro 5 quality diesel or petroleum throughout the network of fuel stations. So there is a capacity issue. I believe that the Rapid Pengerang project in Johor, when that is up and ready, Petronas will be able to supply more Euro 5 compliant diesel. Is there a resistance in other parts of the industry? Well, I would say that some truck manufacturers are probably not able to supply the right engines at this moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
So possibly they are a bit more resistant. From our point of view, and I would think from the European players' point of view, we are more than able and willing to supply the Euro 5 or the Euro 6 level of technology.
So how do you define a clean transport?
How do we define clean transport? Going back to what we put into the engine, what kind of fuel we put in, that's one thing. Making sure then that the engine, what comes out of the exhaust pipe in the end, is at the right cleanliness. I think it's also how, again, it's a whole ecosystem. How do we work in our workshops, as I said before? How do we deal with the waste that we have? What kind of energy do we have for our workshops as well? We have a flagship dealership in Port Klang. We opened that about a year ago. We had close to 4,000 trucks going in there. And together with our landlord, our partner, our customer, actually, Taipanko, we will have solar panels on that one. I think that's one way of moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
The engine can have a certain cleanliness level. It's also very important that you have a driver who is driving a fuel-efficient way. Will, per definition, there will be a cleaner way of driving and a safer way of driving. So we're trying to do that together with the trucker community. We have a big annual event called Fuel Watch. Last year, we had 1,412 drivers who came to our workshops throughout the country. It's a bit of a competition. It's a little bit of fun. In the end, the winner goes to either an Asian final or last year to a Swedish final.
Wow.
So we had a Malaysian representative in Sweden, in Gothenburg.
What do they do in this competition?
They drive a truck as fuel efficiently as they can.
Okay.
So you see how far do you get with 1 liter of diesel, for instance, how many kilometers can you make? Or over 30 kilometers, how much diesel do you consume?
Do they literally drive the truck?
They literally drive a Volvo truck.
It's a huge event.
It's a big event for us. Yeah. It's clearly one of our most important events. A bit of fun, but for a good purpose, because fuel consumption and the cost of fuel is an important part of the profit and loss for our customers and our partners.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, if you drive fuel efficiently, you will also drive safely, because it's a smoother drive, more planned and so on. And safety for us, as I said before, is clearly one of the core values.
Mm. All right. Up next, we want to look into what are the emergence of new vehicle concepts or smarter transportations. In the studio, we have Mats Nielsen. He's the Managing Director at Volvo Malaysia. So stay with us on Resource Center, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
We're back on Resource Center, and we have Mats Nielsen, Managing Director at Volvo Malaysia. We've been talking about, you know, these sustainability practices within Volvo Malaysia, as well as what's happening in this region. But now let's move on into technology. I think that's one thing that get everyone excited, because, you know, we've heard so much about autonomous vehicles, right? Electric cars has been around also, but being from the industry, what are these new vehicle concepts, or what are these smarter transportations are about?
As we said before here, I mean, a lot is happening in the world as a whole. The pace of change is increasing, I think. And clearly, when it comes to technology around vehicles, there's a lot happening there as well. Within Volvo, we have one of our taglines is driving progress. So we want to accompany the change in society and the change when it comes to the vehicles themselves. So what is happening? A lot of things are happening. One of them is about automation. Mm-hmm. I've heard about something called platooning. We have self-driven vehicles, etc. All of these are, and connectivity is another one, mm-hmm. where we have our telematic systems. What does this mean?
Yeah.
Platooning, for instance. Platooning is really like a little platoon of vehicles. When it comes to trucks, what you will have is like a column or a couple of vehicles, a little bit like a road train, mm-hmm. but they're not connected physically to each other. They're connected through wireless technology. So you will have a certain number of vehicles where the first vehicle is wirelessly connected to the second, to the third, to the fourth, fifth, and so on vehicle. And when anything happens in the first vehicle, it's immediately translated or transferred to the other vehicles. So the guy turns right, the other ones will turn right at the same mm-hmm. spot. He brakes, they will also brake immediately. This means that you can have less space between the vehicles than if you have a human driver in this case. There will still be a human in the vehicle. We still need that. That's clear. But through the platooning, through this direct communication between the vehicles, between the trucks, the reaction will be immediate. So the first guy brakes, the second one will brake immediately. This means that they can be closer to each other, meaning that you will have less air resistance, so you will have more fuel efficiency. You will also take less space on the road. The trucks will take less physical space.
Yeah. And this is beyond just concept, right? You've already experimented this in Europe.
This is beyond concept, as you said. We have experimented that in Europe, across borders, again, going back to that part of the discussion here, between countries. So that's been definitely practiced in reality. We've had requests from customers in Malaysia as well. So there's an interest, clearly an interest. It's a bit of a buzzword today,
I think. Is it possible to do this on Malaysian roads? Because we have quite a stigma to our roads here.
So this is a very good question. Technically or technologically, we are, I would say, to some extent ready. But it's not just about a vehicle itself. I think traffic is like an ecosystem. I talked about my three children before. Of course, when they go out on the road, I want them to be safe. They might not be behaving rationally, so the vehicles might not be fully programmed to take care of this. So I think we still have a certain distance to make, some steps to take mm-hmm. before this can be fully implemented and so on. The vision is there. I can see there's an interest to understand what it is about. We will never compromise on safety. Mm-hmm. But we will accompany this change and to some extent drive the change as well.
Yeah. And when you say ecosystem as well, what I've read about this platoon technology is there are sensors involved on, you know, being embedded on the roads as well.
Yes, that's taking it one step further. Yes,
okay.
Correct. So you could have dedicated lanes for these ones.
Right.
You could have the driver driving it up to the lane. And then once you're in there, you could also decide that this one is only for platooning vehicles potentially, which means that the driver can then relax and the vehicles will connect to one of these trains basically and continue. Automated vehicles, maybe. There we have also made live tests, and I think we are the first company to do that with our FMX truck.
FMX truck, okay.
The one we launched last week with the FH. Mm-hmm. FMX is more for construction and rougher conditions, rougher terrain. So in Sweden, there's a mine 1,000 meters below the earth, the surface of earth, and the truck is running there completely on its own through a path, picking up stones or iron ore or whatever under earth and driving back on its own. So this is the first knowledge, the first test and an actual realization of this together with the partner. Knowing that these conditions are very harsh, it's wet, it's cold, it's humid. It's a bit like Sweden above the surface as well in winter.
Okay. And so beyond automated vehicles, platooning technology, what other developments are we seeing within the space?
Another thing is alternative fuels. We talked about biodiesel, how we can go further there. Mm-hmm. There are vehicles with gas, electric vehicles, a lot of talk about that, hybrids and other kinds of driveline solutions. Mm-hmm. We also see technology, I mean, before going to the fully automated or potentially self-driving, that's a distance to go. Mm-hmm. But we have a lot of systems to secure better safety. We have to avoid blind spots, better visibility, through the lane changing systems, etc. So we have adaptive cruise control as well, but the speed will be through radars, etc. Sensors will be adapted to the vehicles in front of you. Then we have another on our FH, if I can say a couple of words about that, that we introduced last week. That's our top of the range vehicle, I would say. And then we're talking about some technology in the vehicle, if I may.
Yeah.
One of them is what we call the crawler gear.
What's that?
So crawler gear means that the vehicle can be pulling some 325 tons of weight, and he can drive at 0.5 to 2 kilometers an hour or start from standstill. So it's a gear ratio that allows you to drive really, really slowly with very, very heavy loads.
Okay.
That's something new.
But they're not driverless, right?
But this is not driverless at all now.
Okay.
Another feature that we have is iPark Cool. So it means today in Malaysia, one of the things that you have and that I love here, we don't have it in Sweden, is hot weather, which means that the drivers need air conditioning. When you stop for a break, you need to cool down. And this often means to idling. So the engines will be on, consuming fuel and having emissions, etc. Through this iPark Cool, you can actually stop your engine and you will still be able to cool your system through technology that we have. Up to 8 hours, actually, you can be cooling the cab without having to have the engine on.
At the end of the day, what do you foresee the future of transportation?
Yeah, I would say I wish I knew, but of course we can see certain things. There's a lot going on. I think it's very exciting times. We do see this increased flow of goods across the borders. I think that's one exciting part. I like to consider the trucking industry as the lifeblood of the economy. I will have said this at other forums. But without trucks, without truck drivers, without trucking companies, the economy would come to a standstill. You would most likely not find milk in the shops. You wouldn't find clothes at H&M or wherever you go. You would have difficulties to transport from the mines, etc., if there were not trucks. So without trucking industry, the economy would come to a stop. We see the future, of course, cleaner vehicles, automation, we talked about that. Uptime is very important. We can support that through different systems. Increased use of telematics, where we can diagnose the vehicles from a distance to know if there is a need to intervene on potential future.
So is telematics related to Internet of Things?
In a way it is.
Okay.
So through telematics, we can communicate with the vehicles from a distance. And the truck operator can also analyze some of the problems that it has. So,
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Angeline.
I've been speaking to Mats Nielsen. He's the managing director at Volvo. And we've been covering about the trucking industry here in Malaysia and also specifically to focus on cross-border transportation and how important trucks are to our economy. And thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.